Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Boaz went to the town gate and took a seat there. Just then the family redeemer he had mentioned came by, so Boaz called out to him, "Come over here and sit down, friend. I want to talk to you." So they sat down together. Then Boaz called 10 leaders from the town and asked them to sit as witnesses. And Boaz said to the family redeemer, "You know Naomi, who came back from Moab. She is selling the land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should speak to you about it so that you can redeem it if you wish. If you want the land, then buy it here in the presence of these witnesses. But if you don't want it, let me know right away, because I'm next in line to redeem it after you." The man replied, "All right, I'll redeem it." Then Boaz told him, "Of course, your purchase of the land from Naomi also requires that you marry Ruth, the Moabite widow, that she can have children who will carry on her husband's name and keep the land in the family." "Then I can't redeem it," the family redeemer replied, "because this might endanger my own estate. You redeem the land. I cannot do it." Now, in those days, it was the custom in Israel for anyone transferring a right of purchase to remove his sandal and hand it to the other party. This publicly validated the transaction. So the other family redeemer drew off his sandal as he said to Boaz, "You buy the land." Then Boaz said to the elders and to the crowd standing around, "You are witnesses that today I bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. And with the land I have acquired Ruth, the Moabite widow of Mahlon, to be my wife. This way she can have a son to carry on the family name of her dead husband and to inherit the family property here in his hometown. You are all witnesses today." Then the elders and all the people standing in the gate replied, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make this woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, from whom all the nations of Israel descended. May you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. And may the Lord give you descendants by this young woman who will be like those of our ancestor Perez, the son of Tamar and Judah." So Boaz took Ruth into his home, and she became his wife. When he slept with her, the Lord enabled her to become pregnant, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women of the town said to Naomi, "Praise the Lord, who has now provided a redeemer for your family. May this child be famous in Israel. May he restore your youth and care for you in your old age, for he is the son of your daughter-in-law, who loves you and has been better to you than 7 sons." Naomi took the baby and cuddled him to her breast, and she cared for him as if he were her own. The neighbor women said, "Now at last Naomi has a son again." And they named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse and the grandfather of David. This is the genealogical record of their ancestor Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab. Amminadab was the father of Nahshon. Nahshon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz. Boaz was the father of Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. All of Ruth chapter 4. Father, we thank you for the glorious and the powerful and the wonderful story found in the book of Ruth. And thank you, Lord, for the reminder that you are our kinsman redeemer. You are King of kings and Lord of lords. You've redeemed us with your own blood. You made a way for us to be saved and to spend all eternity with you. Thank you for being our Redeemer, our Kinsman Redeemer, our King of kings, our Lord of lords. You are El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much. I just want to come in agreement and thanking you for being our Redeemer. And Father, I just want to thank you also for being our Protector. Father, thank you so much for defending us, for calling us into better ways to live, for defending us from the enemy, for defending us from temptation. Father, thank you so much for giving us strength to overcome trials and for faith to grow in you. Father, I ask that you'd call us more and more in these moments to walk more closely with you as you walk with us as our Protector and our Redeemer. Thank you so much, Father, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac, and thank you for being a part of our listening family. Our Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge project specifically is underway. It began the time frame is June the 1st through the June 30th for individuals, young people that would like to participate. Again, we're inviting you to write a speech based on the first commandment, which tells us, you shall have no other gods before me, and present that, send that speech to us. Again, we ask that you record it on your cell phone or on another recording device. Send it to faq@afa.net or to jparker@afa.net and put in the four columns simply, Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge 2025. That's what you'd place on the subject line. You can write the speech yourself, or you can get help from dad or mom or anyone else. Or if you need assistance in writing your speech, we'd be glad to help you as well. Just call us. You can call me here. The number is 662-844-5036, extension 381. We'd be glad to help you if you need assistance with that regard. Keep in mind the ages are ages 7 to 17 that we're inviting to participate in the project. And the speeches are to be submitted between June the 1st and June the 30th. And keep in mind, our goal is to have as many as we can arrange to have the young people to come on a radio broadcast to share their speech, talk about maybe how they grew and what they learned from the process, and invite one or both parents to be on as well. These programs make for great programs where we learn important truths and insights about discipleship. Remember, the Ten Commandments Project is a discipleship project. It's about helping our young people to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and to grow up in their faith, and of emphasizing the importance of planting the Word of God in their hearts. Again, a reminder to every parent listening, if you're not, and I want to just emphasize this, discipling our children actually is a fun prospect, and it's a fun process as well. It can be so enjoyable when a parent makes it a habit to begin to have their child read the Word of God to them out loud every single day. It's a way to help plant the powerful Word of God in their hearts on a consistent basis, then to be growing in the midst of that, but also spending time together with your children as they share the life-giving Word of God and reading it. Remember, when your child is reading the Word of God, they're spending time with Jesus. And there is no more valuable thing they can, no more valuable way they can be spending their life than spending time with Jesus Christ. So we hope that your young folks will choose to get involved. I want to take time now to read, as we often do, one of the resource articles that we share from the AFA stand that I wrote. This one is entitled Faith and Obedience. Again, the title of the article, Faith and Obedience. Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Again, Hebrews 11, 1. Then Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. What's the relationship between faith and obedience? What's the connection between these two concepts? Are they one and the same, or are they two entirely different issues? This is actually a very important question to ask. So what's the correct answer? Some might say that faith and obedience are two sides of the same coin. So what's the connection? Actually, obedience is an expression of faith. It's a response to faith and trust in God and His Word. Obedience should always be the result and fruit of faith. So the two should definitely go hand in hand and are closely tied together. So what if someone states, I have a lot of faith, I just struggle to live a life of obedience to the Word of God? It's very important to know that true faith will always result in obedience to the Word of God. When a person disobeys the Word of God, they're being faithless in that given situation. The Word of God tells us in the book of James, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace and be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. James chapter 2, verses 14 to 25. In Genesis chapter 12, Abraham is told by God to get up and leave his family and go to a land he would show him. For Abraham to obey God in this matter, it took faith and trust in God and his word. Well, Abraham did put his faith and trust in God. He packed up and in obedience to the word of God, moved to the land God showed him. Abraham heard the word of God and in faith obeyed that word. And he was blessed by God as a result of his faith and obedience. And the world continues to be blessed even up to today, by the obedience and trust of Abraham in the word of God as found in Genesis chapter 12. In the book of Numbers chapter 13, Israel is called upon to put their faith and trust in God. The children of Israel were called by God to go and conquer the promised land. But after the 12 spies who were sent returned from spying out the land, 10 of the 12 spies had an evil report. How was their report evil? It was a report of unbelief. Two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, believed that with God's help, Israel could go immediately and conquer the promised land. The majority of the children of Israel believed the report of the 10 unbelieving spies, though. The children of Israel therefore failed to put their trust in God that he would help them to conquer the land of Canaan. We'll pick up on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, the title of that article, Faith and Obedience. We'll be right back.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven.
Music from the Walls Group with The Prayer. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're sharing from an article by the title, the article from the AFA stand that we wrote is entitled Faith and Obedience, and picking up close to where we left off. In the book of Numbers, chapter 13, Israel is called upon to put their faith and trust in God. The children of Israel were called by God to go and conquer the promised land. But after the 12 spies who were sent returned from spying out the land, 10 of the 12 spies had an evil report. How was their report evil? It was a report of unbelief. Two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, believed that with God's help, Israel could go in immediately and conquer the promised land. The majority of the children of Israel believed the report of the 10 unbelieving spies, though. The children of Israel therefore failed to put their trust in God, then that he would help them conquer the promised land of Canaan. They didn't put their faith in God and therefore chose to disobey the Lord. They didn't seek to go into the promised land at that time. Instead, they became upset at Moses that they came to this difficult place in these circumstances. Their lack of faith and obedience to the word of God had a tragic result. Sadly, everyone 20 years old and older, except Joshua and Caleb, of all this multitude of people, was to die in the wilderness because of their unbelief. So faith and obedience are very important for any and every believer every day of our lives. The Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." So, if we desire to live a life that pleases God, we must live a life of faith and trust in God. And closely connected to this is this truth. If we desire to live a life that pleases God, we must live a life of obedience to the Word of God. Every day, it's the responsibility of every follower of Christ to put their faith and trust in God. And we're called to step out in obedience to the Word of God. Again, if we want to live a life that pleases God, the Word of God is the will of God. We're called to read and meditate on the Word of God daily and as a lifestyle. And we're called to have faith in God's Word, and we're called to obey Him every single day. Again, the title of that article, Faith and Obedience. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get you a copy. Again, the email, joseph@afr.net. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the book of Job. Job chapter 31, beginning at verse 13. "If I have been unfair to my male or female servants when they brought their complaints to me, how could I face God? What could I say when he questioned me? For God created both me and my servants. He created us both in the womb. Have I refused to help the poor or crushed the hopes of widows? Have I been stingy with my food and refused to share it with orphans? No, from childhood I've cared for orphans like a father. And all my life I've cared for widows. Whenever I saw the homeless without clothes and the needy with nothing to wear, did they not praise me for providing wool clothing to keep them warm? If I raised my hand against an orphan, knowing the judges would take my side, then let my shoulder be wrenched out of place. Let my arms be torn from its socket. That would be better than facing God's judgment. For if the majesty of God opposes me, What hope is there? Have I put my trust in money or felt secure because of my gold? Have I gloated about my wealth or all that I own? Have I looked at the sun shining in the skies or the moon walking down its silver pathway and been secretly enticed in my heart to throw kisses at them in worship? If so, I should be punished by the judges, for it would mean I had denied the God of heaven. Have I ever rejoiced when disaster struck my enemies or become excited when harm came their way? No, I have never sinned by cursing anyone or by asking for revenge. My servants have never said, "He let others go hungry." I have never turned away a stranger, I have never turned away a stranger, but have opened my doors to everyone. Have I tried to hide my sins like other people do, concealing my guilt in my heart? Have I feared the crowd or the contempt of the masses so that I kept quiet and stayed indoors? If only someone would listen to me. Look, I will sign my name to my defense. Let the Almighty answer me. Let my accuser write out the charges against me. I would face the accusation proudly. I would wear it like a crown. For I would tell him exactly what I have done. I would come before him like a prince. If my land accuses me, and all its furrows cry out together, or if I have stolen its crops or murdered its owners, then let thistles grow on that land instead of wheat, and weeds instead of barley. Job chapter 32. Job's three friends refused to reply to him because he kept insisting on his innocence. Then Elihu, son of Barachel, the Buzite of the clan of Ram, became angry. He was angry because Job refused to admit that he had sinned and that God was right in punishing him. He was also angry with Job's three friends, for they made God appear to be wrong by their inability to answer Job's arguments. Elihu, who waited for the others to speak to Job because they were older than he, but when he saw that they had no further reply, he spoke out angrily. Elihu, son of Barachel, the Buzite, said, "I am young and you are old, so I held back from telling you what I think. I thought those who are older should speak, for wisdom comes with age. But there is a spirit within people, the breath of the Almighty within them, that makes them intelligent. Sometimes the elders are not wise. Sometimes the aged do not understand justice. So listen to me, and let me tell you what I think. I have waited all this time, listening very carefully to your arguments, listening to you grope for words. I have listened, but not one of you has refuted Job or answered his arguments. And don't tell me he is too wise for us. Only God can convince him. If Job had been arguing with me, I would not answer with your kind of logic. You sit there baffled, with nothing more to say. Should I continue to wait now that you are silent? Must I also remain silent? No, I will say my piece. I will speak my mind, for I am full of pent-up words, and the spirit within me urges me on. I am like a cask of wine without a vent, like a new wineskin ready to burst. I must speak to find relief, so let me give my answers. I won't play favorites or try to flatter anyone. For if I tried flattery, my Creator would soon destroy me. Job chapter 33. Listen to my words, Job. Pay attention to what I have to say. Now that I have begun to speak, let me continue. I speak with all sincerity. I speak the truth. For the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Answer me if you can. Make your case and take your stand. Look, you and I both belong to God. I too was formed from clay. So you don't need to be afraid of me. I won't come down hard on you. You have spoken in my hearing, and I have heard your very words. You said, I am pure. I am without sin. I am innocent. I have no guilt. God is picking a quarrel with me, and he considers me his enemy. He puts my feet in the stocks and watches my every move. But you are wrong, and I will show you why. For God is greater than any human being. So why are you bringing a charge against him? Why say he does not respond to people's complaints? For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams, in visions of the night. When deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds, he whispers in their ears and terrifies them with warnings. He makes them turn from doing wrong. He keeps them from pride. He protects them from the grave, from crossing over the river of death. Or God disciplines people with pain on their sick beds, with ceaseless aching in their bones. They lose their appetite for even the most delicious food. Their flesh wastes away, and their bones stick out. They are at death's door. The angels of death wait for them. But if an angel from heaven appears, a special messenger to intercede for a person and declare that he is upright, he will be gracious and say, "Rescue him from the grave, for I have found a ransom for his life." Then his body will become as healthy as a child's, firm and youthful again. When he prays to God, he will be accepted, and God will receive him with joy and restore him to good standing. He will declare to his friends, "I sinned and twisted the truth, but it was not worth it. God rescued me from the grave, and now my life is filled with light." Yes, God does these things again and again for people. He rescues them from the grave so they may enjoy the light of life. Mark this well, Job. Listen to me, for I have more to say. But if you have anything to say, go ahead. Speak, for I am anxious to see you justified. But if not, then listen to me. Keep silent, and I will teach you wisdom. Job chapter 34. Then Elihu said, "Listen to me, you wise men. Pay attention, you who have knowledge." Job said, "The ear tests the words it hears, just as the mouth distinguishes between foods. So let us discern for ourselves what is right. Let us learn together what is good." For Job also said, "I am innocent. But God has taken away my rights. I am innocent, but they call me a liar. My suffering is incurable, though I have not sinned. Tell me, Has there ever been a man like Job? With his thirst for irreverent talk, he chooses evil people as companions. He spends his time with wicked men. He has even said, "Why waste time trying to please God?" Listen to me, you who have understanding. Everyone knows that God doesn't sin. The Almighty can do no wrong. He repays people according to their deeds. He treats people as they deserve. Truly, God will not do wrong. The Almighty will not twist justice. Did someone else put the world in his care? Verses 1 through 12, Job chapter 34. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Word of God. We'll be back. Kerry Job with Forever. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Word of God as we pick up in the New Testament, the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 17. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," the man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young." Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. "There is still one thing you haven't done," he told him. "Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." This amazed them, but Jesus said again, "Dear children, it is very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were astounded. "Then who in the world can be saved?" they asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God." Then Peter began to speak up. "We've given up everything to follow you," he said. "Yes," Jesus replied, "and I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the good news will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property, along with persecution. And in the world to come, that person will have eternal life. But many who are the greatest now will be least important then, and those who seem least important now will be the greatest then." They were now on the way up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. The disciples were filled with awe, and the people following behind were overwhelmed with fear. Taking the 12 disciples aside, Jesus once more began to describe everything that was about to happen to him. "Listen," he said, "we're going up to Jerusalem, where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die and hand him over to the Romans. They will mock him, spit on him, flog him with a whip, and kill him. But after 3 days, he will rise again." Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do us a favor." "What is your request?" he asked. They replied, "When you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left." But Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I have been baptized with?" "Oh, yes," they replied, "we are able." Then Jesus told them, "You will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen." When the ten other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. So Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many." Then they reached Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet. Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. My rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Mark chapter 11. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into that village over there, he told them. As soon as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, what are you doing? Just say, the Lord needs it and will return it soon. The two disciples left and found the colt standing in the street, tied outside the front door. As they were untying it, some bystanders demanded, what are you doing untying the colt? They said what Jesus had told them to say, and they were permitted to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it, and he sat on it. Many in the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others spread leafy branches they had cut in the fields. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting. Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Praise God in highest heaven. So Jesus came to Jerusalem and went into the temple. After looking around carefully at everything, he left because it was late in the afternoon. Then he returned to Bethany with the 12 disciples. The next morning, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He noticed a fig tree in full leaf. He noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off. So he went over to see if he could find any figs. But there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, may no one ever eat your fruit again. And the disciples heard him say it. When they arrived back in Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out the people buying and selling animals for sacrifices. Verses 1 through 15, Mark chapter 11. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, again for your Word. Thank you for the chance to read it daily. Anoint each and every one of us, all those that are part of our listening family and all those we've prayed for today. Anoint us all afresh with the Spirit of grace that would encourage us to be wise enough to fill our hearts and our minds with your Word every day and empower us to be much more faithful hearers and doers of your Word. Thank you for us as the church and as a nation. Help us, Lord, as the church and as a nation, to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Well, as we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know you have never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior and ask him to save you, if you've never made that step, today is a wonderful day, a great day to make that step. If you'd like to make that decision and that step today, would you from your heart pray this prayer with us right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've ever done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey your word daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we are wanting to connect with you. We'd like to definitely be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be sure and get in touch with us. We definitely hope to hear from you and would like to connect with you. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. If you're wanting a copy of the article that we shared earlier entitled Faith and Obedience, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. And of course, any of the articles we've shared in the past, simply email us. We'll be glad to share those. Let us know the title and we'll be glad to get those to you as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.